sometimes a little irrational exuberance may be a good thing. This week, the stock market began the same way it ended last year, plunging. Then on Wednesday, the Federal Reserve Board slashed its benchmark interest rate by half a percentage point, and this sent the market surging. The Dow went up nearly 300 points. The Nasdaq had its best day ever in both point and percentage gain. Still, by the end of the week, Wednesday was a momentary blip, no more than a pause in what's been a pretty steady slide. The days of throwing darts and hitting winners seem to be decisively over. Our friend from the world of business, Fortune Magazine's editor-at-large Joe Nocera, joins us. Joe, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Scott.
And judging from what he said and did, do you think Chairman Alan Greenspan's just a little worried?
Oh, I think he's more than a little worried. There are two things going on here. One is there have been a series of statistical reports in the last couple of months, the most recent of which was early this week, that clearly show the economy is slowing down. And the report that mattered this time was a productivity report that showed that manufacturing output was the worst it had been since the recession of 1991. And presto, the next day, completely out of the blue, I mean, it surprised everybody, comes this giant interest rate hike. You have to understand, a half a point cut is twice as big as their normal cut. And the second thing going on here, really, is the stock market itself, which has become much more important to the country and to the economy than it used to be. And, you know, Greenspan, I don't think, nobody wants to be the person to finally, once and for all, kill off this market. And that includes Alan Greenspan. Mm-hmm.
When you talk about the stock market becoming more important to people, that a lot more people are invested these days than used to be, even 20 years ago.
Right. That's point A. I mean, according to some statistics, 85 million Americans are now in the market, which is just an astonishing number, really. The psychological importance of the market to people is much, much bigger than it used to be. In other words, even if it's your pension and you can't touch this money till you're 65 years old, the fact that your money may have tripled or quadrupled over the last 5 or 6 years if you were in certain tech stocks means that you have felt richer and you felt like you've been able to buy things that you might not have otherwise bought. And, you know, that's the famous wealth effect that the stock market has, and it has definitely had an effect. When the market slows down or declines, I mean, people are definitely losing money in their portfolios. I think it's over $3 trillion has been lost in the last year. But again, it's money you can't touch, but people feel psychologically poor. Yeah. So they stop buying. And there doesn't seem to be any question that that has had a powerful effect on the economy in the last 4 or 5 months.
Tech stocks, we should know, took, we don't need to note it, really. Everybody knows they took the biggest hit. I mean, Microsoft's now known as embattled Microsoft. Lucent Technologies had a terrific dip this year. Cisco, Dell. Is there any one reason, or is this just the burst that people thought had been building for 5 or 6 years?
In the dot-com world, where it started, it is definitely the burst that people like me have been expecting for quite a while and have been predicting for quite a while. When that started in March, really, that's when the dot-com bubble burst. One company after another started to report that their earnings would not be expectations. So there was clearly a slowdown in the tech economy, and it became more and more pronounced as the year went on. And even companies like Cisco, which barely made its numbers but did make its numbers, if you looked in between, you saw that there was slowdown in certain revenue segments. Microsoft, first time in a decade, they said they were not going to meet profit expectations. And so, you know, at the beginning of the year, it looked like, well, this is just a dot-com thing, finally. At the end of the year, it was clear that there was a huge slowdown in the entire technology sector. And one thing that's important to keep in mind is that between the last recession and now, technology has become a much, much, much bigger portion of the economy.
Well, in noting that, Warren Buffett, I guess a little more than a year ago, we talked about the fact that he didn't invest in tech stocks. And in 2000, his investment company, Berkshire Hathaway, increased its value, I guess, by 27%. Now, is that a clue, or is Mr. Buffett just has he just had a providential year?
Well, if Mr. Buffett has just had a providential year, he's had a hell of a lot.
I mean, I hope he's not
listening to Dexter. The thing that I remember about that is a year ago when tech stocks were in the stratosphere, you know, his annual meeting, the Berkshire Hathaway annual meeting, is one of the great rites of corporate America. He calls it the capitalist Woodstock. And it usually has been an event where people come and basically cheer him and thank him and, you know, kiss his ring. And last year, for the first time in, I don't think ever, people actually got up and questioned his sanity for not being in tech stocks. And he said, I think this is a bubble. I don't think it'll last. I think it's going to be just like when the automobile industry was emerging. A lot of people lost money on that. And he just said, you know, basically, I'm going to stick to my knitting. And sure enough, a lot of people now wish they'd listened to him.
Which is why I want to ask you about an interesting statistic that someone turned up this week. Of course, we talked about it with you on the show. The Dow was changed in 1999 to include some computer companies that are now more important in the mix of the economy, and maybe as importantly, throw out a couple of old companies with very well-known names, Sears, Union Carbide, Goodyear. Someone did a comparison, and apparently the old Dow, if you please, was down just 3.1%, as opposed to the 6.2 dip that the new Dow took.
I know, that is pretty interesting. I would defend the Dow on this, though, because the Dow isn't just trying to get rid of dowdy stocks and put in go-go stocks, mm-hmm. although that may be a small part of their thinking. The Dow is trying to reflect in 30 stocks the general state of the economy. So the Dow was right to put Intel in. It was right to put Microsoft in. I don't think you can really argue with that, because those companies have clearly become vastly more important to the economy than they used to be. But those stocks, the rise the highest, the fastest, often fall the hardest. And that's where we are right now. If, assuming there is a turnaround, and someday there certainly will be a turnaround in these stocks, you know, they'll probably be the ones to go up again the fastest.
Mm-hmm. It's a good time to buy those stocks now, isn't it?
If there are stocks that you really understand and really believe in and are willing to wait out some further dips. I mean, if you're a long-term investor, your attitude should be, this too shall pass. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many people out there who have, you know, quit their real jobs to become day traders or to monitor their portfolio, and you just want to shake these people by the lapels and say, get a life. And now the market is kind of forcing them to do that.
So Alan Greenspan is no longer, I think, rightly perceived as looking after the interests of just a few powerful and rich investors, is he?
No, he's not. And it's really kind of incredible the degree to which it's not just Wall Street that cares about a drop in the federal funds rate. It's the whole country. And I think what you saw on Wednesday, when the market made that incredible turnaround at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, right after the turndown, was kind of the, you know, small investors and large investors alike jumping up and down and cheering and say, thank you, thank you, thank you, Mr. Greenspan.
Joe, thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.
Joe Nocera, editor-at-large for Fortune magazine, speaking with us from Northampton, Massachusetts.